Old mountains. There were mountains in the old place, the place of old bones, and the mountains were like bones, only browner, sandstone, though sometimes bleached pale as bones. And dark goats moved among them, and the people who grew out of them were like goats, small and dark, and quick when the sun was not pure poison, moving about their business, which was not our business, theirs being soil, which there wasn't much of, ours being oil, which came out of the ground by the ton and snaked through the hills and desert in pipelines inevitable as the azure steel sky itself. Perhaps they were not real mountains, so much as upthrust foothills. Craggy plateau a man or goat could climb in a day, stand at the top of, and feel Moses come down from. They were holy mountains, and under the holy mountains was oil that sometimes still made bushes burn, or the Red Sea part for the islands of deep-bellied freighters pregnant with crude. And if they were not mountains, they were at least the high steps of the horsemen, grown ghostly with time, and my sleeper's body slept among them, and my dreamer's body, which was only smoke from village chimneys in winter, or the black eyes of the skulls of their huts in summer, saw the quick shimmering emerald of the fields and crevices in spring, the flash of the bright-dressed girls of the waterhole, their ankle bracelets saucy as the glitter of crime in Salome's eyes. And the black eyes under the black wind of the black chidora billowing around the husks of crones. They were the holy mountains camped at our outskirts, while our fathers mined oil from beneath them and hardly saw them. But their graves sang to us in the evenings, and the thin smoke of their cook fires rose like ghosts, and they lay down with us in our dreams like beasts, breathing and patient. Ours, we thought, as the Persian blue sky swaddled their shoulders, as the black night sky lay down on their backs with its pinprick stars. They rose like continents in the black sea of nightfall, then rose again like the skulls of sacrificial beasts in the dawn. And perhaps our white mothers heard them and started drinking harder, savaging the servants, quarreling with our sad sack fathers. Distracted in the midnight, they paced cold tiles, their bare feet lisping the hours, ethereal, haughty, silken whisperings. And the mountains were theirs, too, and the dirty hands of the servants who needed such scolding. Some absence lurked in their eyes like the shadows of mountains, among the coffee clatches and beer-swilling mornings. But we were the children of the mountains, and they entered us as easily as sky, as easily as night. And what they showed us was fire and shadow, dancers under the worn moon. And we saw how time moved in ripples toward the horizon, shuddering under the noonday sun. They moved in us like the spirits of Alexander or Herod, Nebuchadnezzar, Ashurbanipal, Xerxes or Artaxerxes, slow fires in the waking midnight. And our incongruous fathers waited at the bus stop, white short-sleeved shirts, clip-on ties and crew cuts. They talked of Oklahoma or L.A., Atlantic City or Baton Rouge, but never of the bleached mountains on the hem of whose skirts they stood, dazed in the morning light. Their gaze was too calculated, the sheaves of paper in their briefcases too diagrammatic and impersonal. Children of the Depression, their souls had suffered foreclosure. They had bankers' eyes. They are mostly dead now. Copies of Forbes magazine strewn on the night table. And we, who were children of the mountains, search nightly on the news for glimpses of the pale, pitiless sleepers. There, behind the reporter with blank banker's eyes, beyond the rolling dust of tanks, bomb blasts, and squalor, the rubble of apocalypse, we have joined the absent ones. Nothing there now remembers us but the mountains, etched behind our eyelids.